Hey everyone, welcome. Welcome to our second coaching call with me. I know you've all been meeting with your lovely coaches over the last few weeks. So it's just a joy and a pleasure to spend a bit of time with you from my perspective. So please get comfy. I just wanted to kind of get us all here, because I know sometimes that can be a bit tricky at the end of a longish day. So I just wanted to invite everybody to kind of put their feet on the floor and just soften your hips into your seat. Let your belly relax. Yeah, just notice, like, oh, feel the weight of your body in your chair. That's always a nice feeling, like, whoa. You can even make a noise if you want to, just, oh, I'm here. Just feel your shoulders relax and your jaw if you've been smiling at people all day. Just give that a little rub. Invite yourself to just be here. Just take a nice deep breath. Yeah, love it. Love the stretching. Yeah, just let that all happen. Get yourself here. Nice. We don't move our bodies quite enough, do we? So yeah, just feel that. Oh, that nice softness in your belly. Invite your whole self to be here. And you may even just want to breathe in nice and deep. Breathe out. It's like, oh, I'm here. I'm here. There's nothing else I need to do. Nowhere else I need to be. It's all good. Beautiful. You feel like you're in your seat now. Yeah? Nice. Well, I'm so glad to be with you this evening. We're going to have a little bit of a tour around where we are in the program. We're going to do some coaching and some self-reflection stuff. So yeah, nice gentle evening call, I'm hoping. I've got some slides for you, just to sort of give you something else to look at apart from me. The chat is very much open, so please feel free to ask questions, share your comments or feedback, or just anything that's coming up for you. I'm going to be asking you questions as we go as well. So just let that all happen as it feels good to you. Okay. So I wanted to just give you a little tour on what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about feeling a bit behind or not doing it right. And what that's like and why I encourage you to not worry too much about that. We're going to do a little recap on our journey so far. We're going to do some belief busting together, which you may or may not have had a chance to look at the videos, but it's okay. And we're also going to help you choose a courage-based goal. So we start courage-based goals next week. So the videos will be available to you tomorrow morning. And this is going to be our project that we work on for the remainder of the program, so that you have the experience of completing something that matters to you with self-doubt along for the ride. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I first just want to address this potential thing that some of you might be feeling. Please let me know, does that idea of feeling a bit behind or maybe I'm not doing it right, is that present for anyone? Or has it been? Yeah, Helen's nodding, Livette's nodding, yeah. So here's why I want to encourage you to kind of let that go. And I think a lot of the kind of coaching world and a lot of the self-development world is about the journey, right? It's about doing the work and going on the journey and all of that stuff. And what I've found is that actually our revelations, our realizations, the real kind of breakthroughs that happen for us often happen in a moment, right? And you may have experienced this yourself through the program where you've just thought, oh, I understand something about myself in a different way now. And that is about a perspective change rather than having gone on a journey, right? It's not actually about the being on a path and having to go through the steps in a specific way. So what I'm presenting you with along these first 10 modules of the core curriculum to start our kind of journey off together, what I'm giving you is here are some ways that you can explore your self-doubt, and then we move into starting to quite consciously cultivate your healthy adult self. We're going to move into that next week. And all of these ideas are designed to spark your imagination and get you to think about your relationship with yourself in a different way, your relationship with your past, with your future self in a different way. And so the reason we're going through and doing these exercises and reflections and learning some of these tools is so that you can support yourself in your everyday life. Now, you could have one or two revelations during the course of this first 10 modules of the core curriculum that totally change how you show up to your daily life and help you to begin, you know, a different kind of experience with your self-doubt, with your self-belief. And that may or may not have come from you going through the videos in order and writing the notes and feeling like you're doing it right. So I just want to encourage you to start to think about this as, I'm going to let all this information wash through me, and I'm going to show up and do what I can. And I also am going to be open to those revelations and those realizations, because they can come at any time. So I worked with a woman once who came to a program that I ran, and then we coached together. She never did her coaching homework, just never did it. Never really engaged very much in the program, but she kept coming back. And we talked about it a couple of times, and she said, you know what, Sass, I thought that I was coming to you so that I could get all of these tools, and I really wanted to kind of, you know, do the work. And what I've realized is that the way that I speak to myself is something that I'm modeling through the way you speak to me. So because I was like, we'll figure this out, you've got the resources, I totally trust you, I believe in you, you're smart, you're good, you've got this. She was implementing that in her life. She found that she was starting to talk to herself in that way. She said, I can hear your voice sometimes. And I never forgot that. I thought that was just so moving. That for a lot of us, we haven't grown up in homes where we had a healthy adult, right? We just didn't have that. And so we learned to talk to ourselves in ways that probably we wouldn't speak to someone we cared about. So if the only thing that, if you never watched a video, never did an exercise, but you walk away going, maybe she's right, maybe I'm actually all right, that would be such a win, right? Like that would be a huge shift. Maybe there'll be something like that for you, yeah? So I just want to encourage you to not worry too much about doing things in the right order. We've timed this program so that I'm going to be stressing the stuff that's important. You're going to have endless opportunities to come to me and go, okay, I'm redoing module 2 in 6 months' time. And I want to ask this question. It's totally cool. Of course we can figure that out, right? And right now, because it's sometimes quite fun to go, all right, I'm going all in. So over these first couple of months, you've got access to these amazing coaches who are totally there for you and able to go through this with you in real time. So you've got these opportunities, right? However you choose to or feel ready for picking them up. Sometimes I think we sign up to courses like this and we go, I'm totally ready. And then we get there and we're like, whoa, not ready. And that's totally fine. Okay. So there is no expectation or requirement that you're going to do this in some right way. There's just going to be an endless invitation to come back. So if you're watching the recording and you're thinking, oh, I don't like going to live calls, or I always feel a bit awkward, or just come along. It's all right. It's safe. Okay? You can't get behind. Can't do it wrong. This is just an invitation for you to explore the relationship that you have with yourself. Right? Those protective beliefs that are trying to keep you safe, and how you might expand those beliefs into something that's just a bit more helpful, that will enable you to try a new thing and see what happens. And you do that enough and shit gets real, right? Shit gets real. And you start going, ooh, hang on a freaking minute. I'm doing the thing that I wanted to do, that I've wanted to do for a while and I didn't know if I could. Right? That's why there's no like big bang. There's no kind of like, here's the hack, here's the tool, here's the answer. Right? I'm just endlessly interested in how you make sense of you, because you know you best. So all we're doing is going, this is what we know about self-doubt, what we know about self-belief. We've all studied it for years, the coaches that are supporting you. And you're the expert on you. And there's room for you. So that's why you can't get behind. Anyone have any questions or anything they want to say, share, ask around that? We're feeling all right. Good. Okay, so first question for you all. What are you learning about your self-doubt? Like what do you notice is changing about your self-doubt? Just feel free to like take a moment, write it down, share it in the chat. I'm curious to know, like, what is changing about your relationship with your self-doubt? If you want to stick your hand up and just share, let's do that. Anyone want to share in the chat, or just stick your hand up and we can do it in the group? What's changing about your relationship with self-doubt? I can see Kate's typing away. Do you want to just say hello, Kate? You can do that.
Yeah, maybe I'll just say hello. It's too much pressure to type when I feel like I'm being watched. Yeah, I was trying to articulate it. Something about I just have more understanding for myself now, whereas before I just get really impatient with myself now. I'm like, oh, why do I feel like this? Just stop it. Whereas I guess like listening to what the projector is trying to say, or at least like having some thoughts about why it's coming up. It's just like allowed me to be kinder to myself in those moments.
Beautiful. I love that you're just getting curious. It sounds like you're getting curious rather than judging.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a big old shift. Yeah. Great stuff, Kate. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, I love it. You've mastered the reactions. That's brilliant. Well done, you. Can you unmute yourself?
Yes, I think so. Okay.
Nice.
Yay. I don't know if anybody else is feeling this, but I'm just feeling sort of, I guess, kind of softer and tender as I sort of squish around inside. Yeah. And the landscape is a little weird and complex. I'm just, I think I'm just doing some like family of origin healing, and I'm realizing I took that cast of characters with me internally too. And so there's some additional work I'm doing with that. But I think the most exciting thing is there's like a buried more me under some of this that I'm starting to, I'm like, oh, you're not dead. You're not gone. Yeah, this is just sort of a tender and new realization that there's somebody else, there's something, there's like a more authentic, playful me under, you know, under being organized all the time, having all the answers, being on it, being vigilant. There's like a real, like happy-go-lucky, chaotic person under there that has a bit of a different personality than the one I'm living out of. So kind of weird, kind of complex. And so, yeah, it's just a squishing around, feeling around process. Yeah.
I just love that. And I love that you're allowing her to have some space. Yeah. Beautiful. I think you raised such a great point. And you're talking about this too, Kate, is this, we don't quite know who we are when we're stuck in the self-doubt loop, right? We're just living out these stories. Oh, I'm this person. Like you said, Livy, I'm the organized one. I'm the vigilant one. I'm the one that's got to kind of keep everything sorted. And when you leave that kind of loop, you allow yourself to go, well, if I'm not those things, if I don't have to be those traits, have to be going 100% of the time, all the time, what else is possible for me? It's a really great realization to have about yourself. And what I just notice about both these stories is that you're doing what we're talking about in this week's module, right? About expanding our meaning making, looking at what else might be true, right? What else might be true, which could be a positive thing, but it might just be a more helpful thing. Great cheers. Thank you both. I love this, Candida. I feel like I'm starting to catch little moments of it more often. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And Susan, I'm still thinking about how much I'm in the under-functioning realm. I do things, but damn, yeah. Yeah. And all I would say to that, Susan, is that those patterns can be really well established. And so you might find that, and we can talk about this as we talk about beliefs and things, you might find that some of the beliefs that support these behaviors, they feel like this is actually who I am. I'm reporting a fact rather than a choice. It doesn't feel like a choice because I've done it so often. I wonder if that resonates for you, Susan.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, thank you for that. That's, yeah, it just feels right.
So that's the thing, right? It's like maybe the expansion of the meaning making is, oh, I've just thought this for a really long time over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That can be a great way to expand it, right? And I hope what you're saying, and I know when I was talking with the coaches this week and we were talking about meaning making and how we do this too, right? Where you want to have a more positive experience. So we want to shove a positive belief on top of it. But actually, it doesn't need to be positive. This kind of approach, and my work is not about positive vibes, because actually that can be even more dismissing of our experience. But just looking at what else could be true can sometimes just be, well, maybe it wasn't all about me. Maybe something was going on for someone else in specific circumstances. Maybe I've just been telling myself a story over and over again. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's true.
And sometimes when I get a little distance and I look back and I'm like, you know what? I'm not a slacker. I'm not, you know, whatever. I actually have done stuff. It just doesn't feel like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's that thing, isn't it? We all have a bias towards remembering negative experiences. That's something like 8 times more likely to remember a negative experience than a positive one. So I love that you're just going, oh, well, hang on, I have done things. So it doesn't quite feel maybe integrated yet, but there is that possibility that this whole story may need shifting a little.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you for sharing. I love this. Laying, I'm learning more about what drives my self-doubt in an objective, non-judging, softer way, and at the same time wondering how and when it will drop into being embodied. Reminding myself, time's not running out, I don't have to rush it. Yeah. It's just music to my ears. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder, Laying, if you want to just share a little about what that's like for you, just to be a bit more objective and non-judging with yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I like to learn a lot about myself and reflect. And I do a lot of that. There's a lot of noise in my head. Yeah. And often I think, okay, I sort of understand it and I understand where it's coming from in a rational, intellectual way. But then it feels like it's not dropping. It feels like it's not, I don't know, sometimes I get impatient and think, I understand it, but why is it not dropping? You know, why is it not, why is it not showing up in changes in my life? And perhaps it is because I'm not looking out for it. I don't know, like you said, perhaps it's that little moments that come in. It's not that process. It's not, I mean, I know it's not linear, but maybe because of how it's been, you just need like a big moment for it to feel like something's happening, and maybe I'm not looking out for the small moments, but then I feel rushed, I feel like I'm running out of time often, but then I don't have to, but it's just this urgency. And then what you said about memories, you know, I think that's so true. I think one thing that I've really sort of been struggling with is remembering the good things, the fun times, the joy, and I sort of even doubt that those moments existed, you know. And it's of course it has, you know. I've got pictures and journals to show for it, but I don't connect with it, you know. And I think that the last 3 years have sort of robbed that from me. Like I just have this haziness in my brain. Like where did all that confidence go? Was it there in the beginning? And yeah.
So I really feel that, like that sense of urgency, right? I want it to just drop. And I was noticing, like, you've got this beautiful little boy who's going, yes. Hey, mom, I love you. I miss you. What are you doing? Are you doing something more fun than playing with me? Because I want to be with you. Yeah. Right. And I can sort of feel that, like, that's the moment, right? That's the moment. Just look at what you created.
Yeah.
And this little person. Yeah. That's the joy.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, maybe I'm not sort of taking it in enough, you know.
Right. I think it's about like being willing to shine a light on it. I hear you on the big wanting the big moment. Yeah. And actually I think sometimes what if it's an ordinary moment? Mm. An ordinary joy. Mm. In the same way that we're really encouraging you to try experiments that feel quite doable and easy. Mm. Like just because we need the small moments to be able to take in the bigger ones.
Mm.
We need to do the small steps to be able to really, you know, take the leaps.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, one of the experiments this week that I said I'll do is to do 5 minutes of, have 5 minutes of fun a day. And I think I'm going to swap that for joy, because I think fun sometimes it's sort of like, yeah, there are fun things and I do fun things, but I think joy feels more maybe easier to look for. I think. Yeah.
Love that shift for you.
Yeah. So I'm going to swap that to joy. So I'm going to write down a list of things that give me joy. And
you could do this kind of morning and evening as well. Like maybe set some intentions about what are some joyful things I could do today? And then in the evening, like what actually happened? Yeah. What are my joyful memories of today? And over a week, you look back and you're like, whoa, I've got, actually got a shit ton of joy in my life that I've created.
Mm.
Right. And it's actually through, there's a lot of research around how we embody knowledge, because this is a thing that so many of us want.
Mm.
And when you write things down, you get to experience it twice.
Mm.
So you're experiencing it in the moment that it's happening and when you're writing it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you reflect on that a week later, you get it a third time. So you remember I said about the 8 times negative bias? You're already like, you've got one experience of joy that you're getting three times the bang for your buck in.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's a good point. I'm going to do that. Thank you.
Great. Really cool. And I'd also say, like, for folks who are like, why isn't the shifting right now? I want the change. I want it to move. Just think about how long you've been believing those protective beliefs, right? Over the course of years, of sometimes for us decades, right? And we just keep telling ourselves those stories. So it can take a little time to unwind that, right? And we might have the, oh, wow, that story is changing for me, but it can take a little time and some practice and some more evidence that it is shifting, that it goes from being an idea of something that might change to something that actually feels changed. Yeah. And this is why I think it's just fun to have, you know, experiences that bring you joy, bring you the feeling of pride and, you know, that experience of, wow, I'm doing it kind of feeling along the way, because it can take some time, right? It's why this is a longer program. I think it takes time for us to shift those stories out for real. And we come around again and again sometimes, right? We think it's shifted and then something will happen and we're like, oh, damn, I'm back here again. But you're actually back in a slightly different place. But you know more now. You're in a different kind of perspective. Yeah. Beautiful. Great shares, folks. Loving it. So I wanted to talk to you about belief busting and what that actually means. So I just want you to think about the kinds of beliefs that your protector is offering you all the time, right? The kinds of things that you find yourself thinking about yourself that you know are rooted in self-doubt. And I just want to have a bit of a discussion about this. Like, what do you think is keeping those protective beliefs alive? Like, why do we keep thinking those things, even though they don't really serve us? There's no right answer here. I'm just curious to know, like, what do you think's going on there? Why are we keeping those protective beliefs alive?
I'm outside. It's really bright.
It's beautiful.
I think I would say not knowing that you believe those things. I'm really interested in, like, I guess, like, woo-woo type stuff. And so I had a reading that was really very extremely illuminating to me. And it basically was just like, you believe these things, but you didn't know that you even had those beliefs.
Right.
So I was instructed to just change the belief. And then other things that were responding to the belief would also change. So I think for me, that's what it is, like, not even knowing that you're even behaving in this way. And then not even knowing, like, being afraid to, like, change the way you think about yourself or think about yourself in relation to other people in order to, like, be embodied, like, to have a new way of being in the world is also really scary, especially if it's something you've been living with for your whole life. So yeah, so I just think you just don't know. And then when you do find out, you're kind of like, is that true? So then, like, going through like denial and all that kind of stuff. But yes, yeah, so
I'm curious to know, Tatiana, is there a belief that comes up for you as you're thinking about this? Something that when you heard your person who gave you that reading, was there a one that you were like, oh, I know what this is about?
Yeah, so I had asked her about something very, very specific. And so she had, so basically in my life, I haven't had very many friends. Excuse me. People don't tend to really like me. So I had asked her specifically about why. And so she was able to find out why and like speak to like my guides, and sort of they had information for me about why this thing was happening, like why I was continuing to experience these things over and over. And like these are things from like literally some of my earliest memories of being a child, is like being lonely and like not having any friends and like not having people to talk to. And it's like that's still my life now. And so I have been wondering, how do I deal with that? Like, how do I deal with people like leaving me, or me not being able to like connect with people? Like, yeah. So, yeah. So that.
So, what I love about this is that you've absolutely like cottoned on to what this week's module is all about, right? Like, is the beliefs that we have, and some of us have had them, like you are describing, since childhood. We've just kept on believing them. So they kind of get embodied unconsciously. And we just think, oh, that's just who I am. And like you're describing, if I change the belief, the way that I am operating in the world, that will have to change in response to that belief as well. Yeah. Magic. Yeah. How great that you had that information given to you and you're in this program.
Yeah.
Which is exactly awesome. What we're designed to help you, support you do. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Right. Bravo you. That's really cool. Thank you, Tatiana. That's such a great one. Yeah, I love this. It feels too great to let go of them entirely. Is there one that's coming up for you when you think about that, Kate?
Yeah, well, I've sort of got two probably that are quite intertwined,
yeah.
Which is, I guess, around, I don't know, like, I mean, maybe the biggest one is this whole, like, I can't talk to people about what I actually really like, because they'll just think I'm really weird and not want to be friends with me, that kind of protective belief. Yeah, which still, like, yeah, it feels quite a risk sometimes. Even though I know that it's obviously like much exaggerated and a bit ridiculous.
Yeah. I guess I wonder if you can also remember instances where it wasn't just a risk, it was a reality. Where you have shared who you were and that's actually resulted in something happening.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think it's all a bit mushed up in like just primary school being horrible. But yeah.
Yeah. That mushed up feeling is exactly what happens. Can everyone kind of relate to that? Like that feeling where it's all just a little bit kind of mushed up and a bit cloudy, maybe a bit foggy in your mind. Yeah. And I think that's one of the ways that it's a kind of almost like a paralysis response, like, you know, the six P's, paralysis is one of them. And I think paralysis for me can sometimes involve a bit of brain fog where it all just gets a bit mushed up and you're not quite sure where it came from. So I wonder, Kate, if you would be up for going through your protective belief with me now.
Yeah, okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think so.
You're up for it? Amazing. Yeah. Okay, everyone, we have a very courageous woman here. It's going to be fun, Kate, I promise. So if you haven't already, folks, this is the protective belief, helpful belief, belief buster template. So I'm just going to go through this with Kate oops, right now, I think I can, I'm just going to escape out of the PowerPoint. Just 1 second, Kate. Sorry. And then it means I can write in it. Okay. 1 second. Here we are. Okay, we're good. So tell me, tell me about the protective belief that you have, Kate.
Yeah, so how I articulated it during one of the uncovering protective beliefs lesson was, if I reveal what I'm like, people will judge me for being weird / wrong. So I guess it's that whole like, yeah, just holding back.
So what I'm hearing you say is, if I'm authentically me, yeah, I'll be judged.
Yeah. So it's that whole like, yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
I just want to paraphrase it for you. So you've got a sentence you can hold in your hand.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So here we go. And is it more than judged? Is it rejected?
Yeah, I mean, that probably is it. But, like, I'm a bit better when someone just out and out doesn't like me. I'm just a bit like, okay, that's fine. It's the whole, like, the expression of when you've just said something that's a bit wrong and people are a bit surprised. Right. For some reason, that feels worse. I don't know why.
Well, tell me, like, how does that feel to you? What's the top emotion that comes up when you say something that feels weird and people ask?
Yeah, it's, I guess, panic. Yeah, that sort of immediately, like, wanting to take it back, perhaps.
Right. So is it? And I'm just asking questions, so you can just go, no, it's this, right?
Yeah.
Don't let my judgment replace yours. Is it embarrassment?
Yeah, okay, embarrassment. And maybe shame, like it feels a bit strong, embarrassment, yeah.
So notice the difference between embarrassment and shame.
Yeah. So shame feels worse.
Yeah.
Like it's something, it's not just like, oh, that was a bit embarrassing. It's like, there is something wrong with me. Kind of, yeah.
So what of those three, what one feels like the top expression that you have?
Yeah, maybe it's shame. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's claim it. So just notice that I've got this protective belief. If I'm authentically me, I'll be judged. And that leads to a feeling of shame.
Mm-hmm.
So the situation, the context that this comes up in for you is that when you share something awkward is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Or sometimes it's just a fear around, and I don't say what I'm thinking. And sometimes it's sharing something, and it's even, and I have no idea why this would be the case. Well, this seems illogical, because obviously if I was on the receiving end of this, I wouldn't judge someone at all. But if I'm like, share, you know, like what book I like or what music I like, and other people kind of aren't into that, yeah. That also seems to trigger this like, oh no, I got it wrong again, you know?
Yeah. So when you think about this context, is it sharing with people you know?
Sometimes, yeah. It, in a way, it feels riskier to share things that are important to me with people I know more. Because if it's a stranger, you just think, oh, I'll never see them again. It doesn't matter that I see them.
So notice like the shame comes up when it's with people you know and care about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. And then I think there's obviously like an inner circle of people who I feel safe with, like my spouse, who I don't get this with, but it's kind of somewhere between my trusted person and complete strangers. It's like that middle group.
Right. People, so it's not like the circle of trust.
No.
Okay. So I just want to make that real distinction, right? And folks just observing, the reason that I want to make that distinction is because there might be a different protective belief that comes up in that context, but we just want this to be really neutral, right? It's a factual thing. Yeah. So the context is just, what's the situation where this comes up in? And you want to phrase it in a way that's really neutral. So you're sharing with people you know and care about, but they're not quite in your circle of trust, like your real close buds, right? And then there is this protective belief that comes up before you've shared.
Yes. Or before I'm like set a boundary. You know, so like I get a bit stressed out in a new social situation with people that I like and want to befriend, but like they don't know that I'm sober, or they don't, or something like that.
Okay, no, that's all good. That's all good. So I just want to make sure that this is just and I'm asking clarifying questions just so you get this nice and clean for you, because that's when it will have the best impact. And so what, when you're feeling that shame, if I'm authentically judged, if I'm authentically me, I'll be judged, which brings up, it's almost like pre-shame, right? It's like, I'm just going to kind of call that out, because, it's almost like anticipatory shame.
I think so. Or, yeah, I mean, it's all a bit of a mush, as I say. So it's anticipatory shame, because that might be something that I have said and nobody is judging me, but I think that they have. So that's sort of an anticipatory shame as well.
Totally get it. Yeah. And notice how all we're doing is just slowing down your experience and getting clear on it. Yeah. So what do you do or not do when you feel that, when you think that?
Yeah, I mean, so I actually I hang back before it gets to that point. So like if I'm, I just sort of don't. Yeah, that's a.
So you kind of don't share.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, I'm not very, this is a common problem, isn't it? But I'm not very good at kind of making new friends as an adult. So there'll be people that I'll see in the same exercise class week after week. And I can notice that some of them have like paired up and share numbers and see each other afterwards. And I feel like I could never do that, like kind of vulnerability.
So you don't kind of make the first move.
Yeah.
In new friendships. In potential new friendships.
Yeah.
I wonder, Kate, if you have that thing where you are kind of almost watching yourself have the conversation before you've had it.
Yeah.
You kind of imagine what the outcome's going to be, and it's a worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, folks, when you're doing this for yourself, or even if you want to get support on the coaching, on the discussion forum, your box four is always going to be the biggest one, because we're looking at what's actually happening that you can observe in yourself, right? Because all this stuff's happening sort of inside you. This is what's happening out in the world. Yeah. So you're hanging back, not sharing. You don't make the first move in potential new friendships, imagining a kind of worst case outcome. Yeah. Anything else you want to add in there, what this produces?
It's tricky. I don't know if this is the same thing, or is this is linked to another protective belief, but it's almost like I never say anything, or I talk a lot and I dominate conversation and I almost don't give them people an opportunity to tell me what they actually think. But yeah.
Notice how it's like, when I believe that, this is what I feel the urge to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. That's kind of what we're going. So, yeah. So you don't give them the opportunity.
Yeah.
It's a really sophisticated way of managing this, isn't it?
Yeah. And I mainly just thought of that one now. Yeah.
Really cool. So what's the outcome of all of this?
I honestly, I feel a bit lonely, and I feel that there's a lot of people in my life that don't really know me, even though I spend time with them.
Yeah. people don't really know me. Even though I spend time with them. Yeah. Notice how that kind of proves the protective belief.
Yeah.
It's proving that it's true, or there's some truth in it, right? If I'm authentically me, I'll be judged. And look, people don't really know me because I'm not being authentically me. They don't really know who I am. They know a version of me, kind of thing. Yeah. So I just want you to all notice this, right? That it sounds like what you're saying, Kate, is you don't share the parts of you that are kind of authentically you, at least all the time, with this kind of social set. And so you don't give yourself the opportunity to be known.
Yeah.
And that results in some loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
And that provides the evidence that there is some truth in this. Right. Yeah. There's always a relationship between the protective belief and the outcome. And it's helpful to see there isn't really anywhere else you can go, right? So if the protective belief is, if I'm authentically me, I will be judged. So how else could you be in that? Like you can't, right? If I'm believing that's the truth, then this is kind of almost like locks in the outcome.
Yeah.
So I just want to pick up on what Tatiana was saying about if I change the belief, then the response to my new belief will have to change as well, right? In the same way, the outcome we have from the difficult belief is proving that the outcome from the protective belief is proving that there's some truth in it. But if you change the belief, you change the outcome.
Yeah.
What do you think the risk is that this is protecting you from?
I mean, I guess it is rejection, isn't it? It's, you know, that whole, oh, you're not one of us, actually, you know. Yeah.
And it sounds like judgment might be in there as well.
Yeah.
Oops. So just notice that, Kate, right? Like at the moment, what I also see is that you're kind of judging and rejecting yourself.
Yeah.
Do you see that? So this is, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it also feels a bit like I'm judging the people that I'm with because I'm assuming that they'll be judgmental and they probably are much nicer people than that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They're hanging out with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. They wouldn't be there if they didn't want to be there, we can assume.
Yeah.
So just folks, notice this, right? Like when you articulate the risk for yourself, just notice, is this something that you're either doing to yourself or doing to other people, right? Because what we will often do is internalize that risk in some way. And this is important because what I want you to see is that the protective belief is designed to keep you safe from the risk, but you're already living the risk. Does that make sense to you, Kate?
Yeah.
So you're trying to keep yourself safe from this idea that I'll be judged, but you're already doing that, and you're probably doing it to other people. You're rejecting a part of you, and you're probably rejecting other people to get in there first.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to everybody else? Yeah? So, do you want to keep this belief?
No.
Would you like to find to expand the story, find a more helpful one?
Yes.
Okay, so we can do that. Oops, sorry, I'm just going to grab the situation, which doesn't need to change, and zip over to the helpful belief. So with the helpful belief, we start with the same situation. And the reason for that is nothing outside of you needs to change for you to believe something different. So this is the same. You're just sharing with people you know and care about. It's not the circle of trust, right? And how do you want to feel? Notice we go from the situation to the desired emotion. How do you want to feel while you're around these folks?
Yeah, I want to feel close to people, like there isn't that kind of wall that I'm putting up. Yeah, that's not kind of emotion, is it? I don't know what that kind of accepted, I guess.
Yeah, I'm thinking about connection.
Yes, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah?
Yeah, something around connection and community and that kind of thing.
Yeah, connection, belonging maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah? Like I belong here, it's cool, I can be me. I wonder if there's also an emotion in there about wanting to feel like either kind of easy, and I mean that in the ease-filled sense.
Yeah.
Natural.
Yeah, I think so. Not to be like second-guessing everything and sort of performing or sending in the representative.
Yeah.
So, and also safe, I guess. I want to feel like it's safe to be myself.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What does that feel like to you when you feel safe to be yourself?
Yeah, well, just kind of thinking about it, I felt myself relax a bit and it feels kind of, I don't know, like warm and, yeah, relaxed.
Great. Notice that, like you go from anticipatory shame, which has all kinds of panic and stuff to it, to just a bit more relaxed.
Yeah.
And what I would say is, you know, just notice, folks, if you're trying to go too far, right, where it just feels inaccessible, if you're going from despair to bliss, it's probably too big a leap, right? But to go from some, you know, anticipating shame, that panicky kind of feeling, to a bit more relaxed, it sounds, Kate, like you don't feel unclear about being able to access that.
No.
Cool. So if you were feeling relaxed as you're sharing with these folks, what would you probably do?
I mean, some of it is like physical relaxation. Like if I've been hanging around in a group setting, like I get home and my shoulders ache and my jaw aches, because I guess I'm holding everything really tight. Yeah. So yeah, like breathing, relaxing, and probably there's just like a little less urgency. Like I would really listen more and strive to connect with people rather than doing that thing where you spend the whole time when someone else is talking, thinking about what you're going to say to impress them or.
What happens when you listen more?
I mean, it's that connection, isn't it? Because you're actually understanding somebody. Yeah.
Like, it sounds like there's some, like, curiosity. Maybe. Sorry, I don't know if I blipped out there, but
yeah,
it sounds like there's some, like, curiosity or something around
genuine
interest.
Yeah, so curiosity, openness, that kind of. And like from that stems excitement, right? Because if I'm curious about something, I want to find out more. I want to spend more time talking to that person. I want to.
Yeah. You know. Love it. So you want to spend possible behavior, want to spend more time with them. They may get an invitation into the circle of trust, right?
Yeah.
It's like how you get to that place is you actually spend time with people, figure out who they are.
Yeah.
What's the likely outcome of this kind of behavior where you're just breathing deeply, you've got a relaxed body, you can listen more, you're wanting to understand them, curious, open, wanting to spend time with them? What's the likely outcome of that?
I mean, I'm more likely to have fun if I'm not so self-conscious. And I guess And that's it, isn't it? And just I'm trying to work out how to flip this into a positive, but like not find social situations quite so exhausting.
Are you more likely to be your, like, share stuff of that's who you are too?
Yes, of course. I sort of forgot where we'd start.
I've got you. So I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like, these are the conditions where we feel safe to be who we are.
Yeah.
So share more of your thoughts, opinions, preferences, quirkiness.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put that in there because I want you to own it.
Yeah.
Your uniquely kooky bits. Yeah, that's what makes you interesting.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Just notice that, right? Like, all of those, all of that's possible. Mm-hmm. If you access that emotion of connection, belonging, you feel relaxed, it means you are a bit more relaxed around other people. So you can listen more, extend some understanding, curiosity, openness, spend time with them, which means you get to probably have a bit more fun. It's not so exhausting. And you get to share more of yourself. How's that landing for you?
Yeah. It still feels a bit like, how do you even start, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess that's what number five is.
What would you, how would you start?
I mean, I guess.
Because it comes back to, from what you've said, it comes back to actually allowing yourself to feel relaxed.
Yeah.
How do you relax on purpose?
I guess kind of choosing to do the things that I actually enjoy. So rather than like, you know, I'm more likely to be relaxed if I'm going for a walk with someone or going out for brunch rather than like meeting for drinks quite late at night when I'm already tired and it's just noisy and I can't really,
Is there someone in your sphere, in this kind of social group, where you think, oh, I would really like to invite that person to go for a walk?
Yeah.
Who's that? What's their first name?
Yeah, so Penny.
Penny. How do you feel about a first doable step of just asking Penny if she wants to go for a walk?
I mean, it seems a bit scary. So this is like a colleague I'm trying to convert to a friend, but I mean, the worst that can happen is that she doesn't, right? So.
You can, I mean, you can just, even the first doable step might be catch her in the cafe at work or ask for a Zoom coffee date. I don't know if you're working in location, but do you know what I mean? Like, it might just be the small talk.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how much detail you need, but basically I left this job and we exchanged numbers because we wanted to stay in touch, but then haven't really done anything with that. So.
Oh, okay. So notice though that the risk is quite low, right? It's not like you're going to have to spend the next 5 years working with someone who didn't want to go for a walk with you and making that mean anything, right?
Yeah.
What would you say if you were going to take her up on her offer to stay in touch?
So I mean, I guess we sort of see each other at like group things, but yeah, I should just sort of text her myself and ask if she fancies going for a walk, I suppose.
And it's like it's a nice, safe way to do it, right? You do it on a text and it's like, no worries if not.
Yeah.
And it's just an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that you get to test out this thing.
Yeah.
New way of being. And I'm curious to know, like, what is the healthy belief that would support you to share more of you? Just a more helpful belief.
Yeah, I mean, it's maybe just something about, which I guess I do know is true, is that, because I don't know how people are going to react, right? But my healthy belief would be like, by offering people the chance to kind of get to know me, that's going to forge a closer friendship. It's kind of like, you can't become close to people, or I can't have the kind of relationships I want in my life while I'm just holding back all the time. I don't know how.
Yeah. So I wonder if you can even phrase that positively.
Yeah. So I guess the situation is like, sharing more with people, I don't know, will build connection or something.
Yeah. Is it something you already believe?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So like sharing more of me.
Yeah.
Will build connections.
Yeah.
Oops. Sorry, can't type. Build connections. Yeah. How's that feel?
Yeah, it feels a bit like a pep talk.
And I guess, you know, the trick with this is that it's not an aspirational belief. It's something you already believe.
Yeah.
Does that feel true to you?
Yeah. I'm just like screen grabbing this so I have it.
I can send it to you too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you've got a helpful belief to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So notice, folks, like all we've done is just slowed down Kate's slightly unhelpful protective belief. If I'm authentically me, I'll be judged. We've just slowed down and looked at what happens when you believe that. Right. And then looked at, And what else could be true? Right. What else could be true? Well, actually sharing more of me will build connections. Right. Both of these beliefs are true in the sense that they become self-fulfilling, right? And neither of them take away the risk, nor do they guarantee that there won't be a risk, right? But what happens is that they give you a belief to practice, to experiment with, to take a genuine step with, and, you know, to Li-Ying's point earlier, to embody, you know, begin to embody. Because as soon as you have some experience of this, where it's like, well, if I share more of me, I'm going to build connections. You've already kind of proven it's true by sharing more of you with us, right? Mm-hmm. You've built a connection with you, with me, with the group, right? You've got that evidence.
Yeah.
How does that feel just to take that away and practice it, see what happens?
Yeah, it feels like a little bit scary, but doable.
Yeah, doable, yeah. And I think this is the thing with belief busting, is that you want the helpful belief to be something you already believe, but you're not already doing. Right? So it's bound to feel a little bit on that edgy side, right? But doable, perfect.
Yeah.
If you find that when you go to practice it or take action, that you've got a shit ton of resistance, it might just be that the doable step isn't as doable as you thought. So you want to come back one step, right? Yeah. Perfect. This is such a great example, Kate.
Yeah.
well done you. Brilliant. Thank you. So folks, as we move through our year together, I'm just going to stop the share. As we move through our time together, we can do this like on calls, right? You can bring a protective belief where you're like, okay, this one's got me. I need to work through this, and we can coach on it. We can do this endlessly, right? As we go through you together. And practicing it yourself is such a great way to start that process of just moving that shift from understanding the voice of your protector, the voice of your healthy adult self, you're actually starting to bring your healthy adult self into the world, right? It's now leading you forward. Yeah. So I'd love everyone to have a go at a belief buster over the next while. And if you get stuck or you're like, oh, I think, I don't know if I believe this, or I don't know if what the feeling is, you just yell in the forum and we'll figure it out together. It's all good. When I'm doing this myself, I still come back and go, oh, I don't know if that's actually it, right? So sometimes I need to be coached on that too. It's all good. It's sometimes tricky to do it for ourselves, but with practice, it's a great way of just slowing down and looking at what's going on. Okay, thank you so much, Kate. That was bloody brilliant. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about choosing a courage-based goal, particularly for folks who are watching. So module 5 is about choosing your courage-based goal and putting together a plan. I've got the simplest planning process that you've never seen before that is going to make goals feel suddenly doable, okay? It is specifically designed for folks with self-doubt. I'm hoping you're going to love it. The important part is to choose a goal that is doable in the next 30 days, okay? So I want you to start thinking about this. When you get the videos tomorrow, have a little play, have a little think about what you want to do. The reason it's a 30-day goal is because that's going to give you a really doable set of steps, right? Because the point of this exercise is that you complete it, is that you have the experience of getting something done that you want to do that your self-doubt's been holding you back from. Right. So have a play around with your goal when you've watched the videos. And if you need any support or help to choose the goal that you want, you can just yell either in the discussion forum, and we'll be talking about it in coaching circles next week as well. Okay. Okay. I just want to throw open, has anyone got any questions, anything that isn't clear, anything that they're like, ooh, now that I've got you, I just want to ask you something. You feeling all right? Okay. Good. So I'm sending you all the love. Crack on. We've been talking, the coaches and I have been talking in our little discussion forum this week about how it's so cool to see everyone's exactly where we kind of thought everyone would be at this stage, right? Where you're sort of like, my protector feels real, feels true. It's kind of annoying. I want to get rid of it, but also not quite feeling my healthy self yet. And am I doing it right? And I'm a bit behind all that. It's the messy middle part. It's exactly where I think everyone is meant to be. Belief busting, and then the second half of the program, we're all into building that healthy adult self. It's going to be ace. All right, folks. Well, thank you so much for your time. It was amazing to chat to you. Thank you, Kate, for being in the hot seat. That was brilliant. Bloody great. We're excited to hear how you and Penny go. And, sending everyone lots of love. If you're watching the replay, thank you so much for being here in spirit. And we'll see you again soon. All right, everybody, take care of yourselves. I'll see you soon. Bye. Bye-bye.